Well, it's a great honor to be here. Great honor to be able to have this opportunity to share balancing church, family, and work, helping our family prepare for eternity. We're really excited about this opportunity to do this class tonight. And I want to just share a little bit before we get into the class, just briefly about ourselves. I know some of you know us. Some of you might be visiting, and you might not know who we are. But my name is Dave Moss. This is my wife Shirley. We've been disciples 35 years.
Amen.
We've been married 28 years, and we're both educators right now. I've been an educator going into my 31st year. This Shirley's 18th year as an educator. We have two awesome daughters, Danielle and Simone. Danielle is currently in Montana. She's with the Missoula Church, and she is she's interning with the campus ministry there. And she recently got a job as a registered nurse, so she's starting that job, I believe, Friday night. So that's pretty awesome. And then Simone is this is her first year of college. And so she is in Orange County, part of the ministry there in Orange County. She's really excited about that. Both girls, Danielle's been a disciple 11 years, and Simone has been a disciple 3 years. And so we're really proud of our kids and just our God is working in their lives. And as we talk about this topic and the things we talk about, you'll see just the connection. It's going to probably be a lot of overlapping with the things that we share, but I think it'll be a really beneficial time. And as Peter said, we've come from probably some of the things we share we might say, well, we're not exactly in the same place you are now, but some of those places we were. We were both college students, became Christians in college, of course, single, got married without children, married with small children, married with preteens, you know, elementary preteens, married with teens. Now we're married with adults. Now we're married with no children. There's no children in the house. You know, so what I give me nothing. So we get to see the kids. So we're going from all these different areas, stages, right? But it's I believe because of these principles that I'm going to talk about, that God has helped us be a balance in our family. So the first thing we want to look at is humility. The goal for all of our families is heaven. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that's the ultimate goal. As far as balancing, is just really seeking God's kingdom, putting God's kingdom first. And when we do that, we see the benefits of what God does. Humility is needed to enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:1-4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And I truly believe that. That's one thing that I know continually needs to happen in my life. I need to be like a little child. I need to be teachable. I need to be looking for others as far as asking advice. And the humility that it takes to get into the kingdom is something that has to be sustained throughout your life. It's just not getting into the kingdom. If you want to stay in the kingdom, you really need to. This needs to be a part of your life, humility. What does humility look like in a family that's preparing for eternity? There's unity between the parents. There's respect for all family members. There's a time for family devotionals. There's a time for discipling relationships. There's a time for the husband and wife to build their relationship. There's money and time invested in God's family. There's money and time invested in marriage workshops and retreats. There's money and time invested in parenting resources, workshops, and retreats. There's seeking advice from others on how to be godly parents. There's a time invested in building relationships with those who can help all family members to grow in their love for God and others. There's seeking input on everything from God's word and or godly people.
Amen.
That first, we're not gonna do practical on every point, but I'll share some. I'm basically read what we have on each point, and then we're going to share a few things from it. But under humility, there's a unity between the parents. You know, we have to be on the same page, Shirley and I. We have to be a team. And the kids need to see that. On our job, people need to see, you know, that, you know, we're a team. Because even at school, you know, I have my picture of my wife here and there, and I show kids, this is my wife. Whenever a birthday, say my wife's birthday, you know what it is, this day or whatever, my birthday, my kids, you know, I show them all, you know, so they know a lot about my family. You know, I sing some of the songs that I do, not some songs on Sunday, but some of the other songs for the kids. But also finances and parenting, that's the unity that we need to have together. Also, there's a respect for all family members. And I think this is very vital that the kids see this. There's a balance that they can see that, man, I can approach dad, I can approach mom. You know, it's not like a thing where there's not things that I can't say to them. Usually they're said in a respectful way, but, I mean, through the years, just with our kids, I believe they feel that. And one thing I want to say about this point is that several months ago, going to a shepherding class once every Saturday, the first Saturday of the month, we were challenged to talk to our family members and some close friends and ask them this question. Can you share like two weaknesses that, you know, like you're asking somebody, like I'm asking Ted, what are two weaknesses you see in me and what's a strength? So immediately when I asked that question, I asked it to Shirley and Danielle and someone happened to be home at the time. They said the same thing. Said, Dad, you don't let us finish what we're saying. You know, they're talking. Said, Dad, you don't let us finish. I mean, they immediately knew the weakness. You know, so it's like, okay. Because when you ask that question, you got to be like, you have to be ready for, you know, what are they going to say? Because, you know, you're like, oh, you probably scratching your head. You know, but the scripture that maybe I focused on was the one that said in James 1:19, says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And that made me think about what they said about me being quick to stop them from what they're saying. And I had to humble myself. And that's what, when you have a family where they feel respect for you, they can talk to you, and they can say different things to you, you know. Like things that Daniel notices when she comes back from the trip. Like, for instance, I would say, hi, Daniel, how you doing? She'll ask me, Dad, how was your day? She was okay. You know, and then I just keep on going. And then every time she asks me, I say the same thing. And then she wants more. She wants more, like, it was okay. She wants to know about my day. So I appreciate that. So that made me think. I said, man, she wants to know more about what's going on. So I need to sit down and tell her. And also, when she came, the great thing about it, the respect, is that she wanted to like spend time with, you know, sometimes when the kids get older, it's like they want to just be with their friends and fellowship. But it's just great. When she was here, she said, Dad, I want to spend some time with you, you know. When can we spend some time? You know, and we were able to spend some time talking. I was telling them about some of the things I was struggling with in my life. And it was just a great time together. But I appreciate her having that desire to know what was going on. The other thing is there's money and time invested in marriage workshops and retreats. You know, I work as a music teacher. Past 2 years, my first class is at 7. I'm supposed to be out probably 2. I'll usually leave about 4 or 5 or later. And then, you know, we have these different events that come up. Marriage retreats. But I still make a point, and the kids see it as well, make a point to be to the marriage retreats. There's like no question about it. Sometimes even when I'm thinking, you know, I hear about a marriage retreat, I'm like thinking, I said, I'm not sure we can make that marriage retreat. And then when I talked to my wife, I said, well, I signed up for the marriage retreat. So she had already signed up already, so I said, okay, we're on the marriage retreat, okay. But I mean, it's like, we know investing that time has really helped our marriage. The marriage dynamics has been tremendous. Everything we've gone to, because I have the attitude, and that's what the kids have to see with me and the family and the balance, is that I can learn. It doesn't matter how long I've been married, there's still things I need to learn. And the things I need to learn, it's amazing the things I learned in that marriage dynamics class. It was amazing. You know, it really turned our marriage around big time. But investing the time in events, marriage retreats, Southwest Conference, you know, it was no question we were going to be there no matter what.
As Dave said, well, I was thinking about it. In 35 years, God has blessed us a lot, and our lives have really been full. And it's hard to share with you in such a short period of time the things that have really made a difference in our lives. As far as these principles, we've seen other families and other couples and their level of humility that really inspires us to be humble, because we know that's going to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of our children. As educators, we are constantly expected to know what's going on, what's the latest thing to help our students grow academically. And so one thing that I do pray for is to be a learner. And so even though, like Dave said, we've been disciples for 35 years, there's still a lot I need to learn. And I try to be a learner, because that is expected of me at work, but I know that God expects that of me as a child of His. And so when I do go to different conferences and different workshops, I go with the attitude of, I want to learn. Some of us can feel like, well, we've heard it before, we've been around a long time, but that really will affect how much you learn and how much you can grow and what changes you can make. And so there is that investment of your heart and your spirit as far as humility. And I feel like, and I know that God has blessed our family because we will invest in that first. When we hear that there's a workshop, we're there. Because there's so much for us to learn. When I went to the Southwest Conference, I was really thankful that I could be there. And yeah, I may be a lot older than a lot of people that have been who were at the conference, but there's a lot I still want to learn. I still want to learn how to be like the Proverbs 31 woman. I still want to learn how to be a wise woman. I know I'm a foolish woman. So there's a lot that I have to learn. Being empty nesters, I mean, people are teasing us, oh, you're empty at nesters. It's like, well, what does that mean? You know, I have to realize it hurts when you've invested a lot of time in your children and they're gone. And I have to be open with people and said, this really hurts. Did it hurt when your children left? And because of my humility, I was able to talk to other women and found out, yes, it hurt. You know, and I was excited about Danielle going to Montana. I was excited about Simone going to Cal State Fullerton, but it hurt. And to talk to other women at the conference and not to be afraid of sharing what I was feeling, it gave me comfort. It helped me to know, oh, you've been through this. I can learn from you. I can look at your example and see how to deal with this. I really appreciate it. Teresa and Gordon Ferguson, they said, because we're empty nesters, we can do more. So, for some of you, you think, okay, how do I balance all this? But I know now the expectation for Dave and myself is to do more, not less.
Right.
Now, granted, I have to deal with the fact that I'm older. I don't move as fast as I used to. You know, there are certain things. But still, I really appreciate that call to want to do more. And that's because I went with the heart of, I want to learn, I want to be called higher, I want to do more. And that's something that I do appreciate about Dave, is his desire to learn how to do more for God and His kingdom. And he is an example to me as far as, you know, me trying to keep up with him as far as his involvement. And he does have a longer day. As educators, you know, people can think we're there from 8 to 3, and that's not true, because we take a lot of work home with us. We have papers to grade, and I won't go through all of that. But it can end up being a longer day. Yes, some of you know that. So those are just a few things. I mean, like we said, we're sharing principles that apply to all of us, regardless of where we are in our lives, whether you have no kids at home and you're starting a family, but it's just that whole thing of humility as far as getting advice, getting input, and letting other people's lives inspire you to do more.
Amen. So, to go on, others. So we looked at humility, now we look at others. Jesus has given us others for love, support, and guidance. Mark 10:29-30. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fails for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in his present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. What does having others involve in your family look like? Having other disciples in your home for a meal, special occasion, discipling time, family devotional, or leisure. Imitating godly families. Seeking advice from godly families. Sharing your goals, dreams, and aspirations for your family with godly people, and being open to input. Working with others to share your faith. Living according to the one another passages. One of the points here and others is just really seeking the advice of godly families and has been one thing that I think has really been a great help to us in our lives and just balancing things, you know, because sometimes you don't know what to do. You know, you pray to God, you talk to one another, and it's like, we need to call somebody because we're not quite sure. Let's get some advice. And I can think through the years when Danielle was a teen, and there were some difficult times, some things she was going through, and maybe my reaction to her wasn't the greatest and wasn't the best, but it was great for me to have Rajiv, who was working with the teens at the time, come to me and say, bro, I think you need to, you know, try not to react. You need to be more, you got to be calm. And I really appreciate what he said at the time, because it really helped me in my relationship with her. Because when something happens with your child, especially as they get older, and it's like, you did what? You know, type thing. You know, you do want to react. But that's not the best thing, because then they don't want to come to you and really talk to you. So you got to really, although it's like it's hurting you when you hear what they're saying, it's like you got to be calm and amen. And then just, you know, just talk with them. Because even after she became disciple, she stopped. I mean, after the years she'd been as a nurse and as she'd gone through college, she'd come back and she'd tell me some of the things. Some to come up in a conversation. I said, oh, I didn't tell you about that when I did. I said, oh, okay. You know, and so I had to like, okay. I just didn't react to what you're saying. But I have appreciated that. I appreciate even times where Fiella told me about different things that she saw that I needed to change in dealing with Simone. I appreciate it. I mean, it's like a lot of times people tell you different things. It's like, you know, sometimes you're not looking for it, but sometimes it's like, man, they feel like they need to tell you, and that's what I appreciate. At least she had the courage to tell me. She didn't like say, well, you know, this guy's been a Christian a long time. I don't need to go there and tell him all these things. But she went there and she told me, and I really appreciate it. I also appreciate just you know, the times our girls have been, especially Simone, invested with Jenna and the lawyers. I mean, they were hanging out the other day, you know, and it's good to have other families involved, others, you know, helping you. Just the talks that Simone will have with Stacy. Simone, that's what she would call her, you know. And Simone would always wanted, I'm going over to the lawyers. I'm going to hang out with Jen. I'm going to hang out with the family. She was a part of the family because she always was able to hang out there. You know, just the different times with just the relationship our kids had with the Wadsworths. I know, you know, Simone, particularly with Phil and Robin, different times we would ask Robin if she could just spend some time with Simone. She was going through some things, and maybe Shirley had been talking to her about some things, but it wasn't really getting to her heart, and we'd ask Robin, can you... You got any time just to hang and go get some Starbucks or something with her? You know, we look at the investment and the emails we made with the girls, with Danielle and Simone, just sharing different things, especially Margie, about things that she thought would be good for and not holding back. And I really appreciate that, you know, feeling like I don't have to hold back. This is my friend. I'm going to tell her what I'm thinking, what was on my mind, and what I think, my opinion about what I think is best. So, and of course, you know, the manners have really been a great influence on us, just looking for their advice. And I know different times, you know, we've said, sometimes we'll say, when we're in a situation, we'll say, what would Jesus do? Sometimes I'm thinking, what would John do? You know, I'm thinking, I'm thinking about John because, you know, I'm watching. I'm always watching people, and I'm listening to different things. But I do say that sometimes. What would John do in this situation? And then that's what I try to, you know, I try to emulate.
Well, as David's talking about, you know, as far as your relationship with others, it does take time, but it's something that you have to value. And we are really fortunate that even with our schedule, we knew that we needed to make time for relationships. And we do appreciate, you know, people loving us enough to be involved in our lives. And it does take time. It takes time, you know, to invest in relationships. And it's not just for you, but it is for your marriage, and it is also for your family. As Dave mentioned, so many of you have been involved in Danielle and Simone's lives, as well as being involved in our lives. And sometimes I'm amazed at how many people have been involved with Danielle, either through working with the teens, and also campus. So it is a thing of, it takes time. And I do appreciate the lawyers for adopting us, and they would have us with their family for Thanksgiving. There are many times when I have the kind of relationship with the Emails and the Shirelikes where it's like, I don't want to have Thanksgiving dinner at my house. So it's like, oh, I can invite myself over to their house for Thanksgiving. Or the Wadsworth. But, you know, it makes a big difference with your, you know, with your relationship, your walk with God, because it is, I want to make it to heaven. I want my family to make it to heaven. And so you need a village, and you do need others. And I'm so appreciative of that. Margie taught us that don't let the girls become quitters. And, you know, it's like, okay. And she really, you know, that was something that she grew up understanding the value of, not to become a quitter. And that's something that we've instilled in our girls. And, you know, and so we get things from a lot of people. You may not have had that in your upbringing, but if you're open to the conversations you have with other people, there are things that will help you with your family. And so we have a great wealth of you know, knowledge and wisdom and experience in this family. And you have to make the time to be with each other, to be open with each other and willing to share. I mentioned it earlier as far as just the Proverbs 31 woman. She was a wise woman. And when you read through that, she was involved with a lot of people. And people admired her for who she was. And, you know, we can say, oh, I got so much with work, or I have to take care of my kids. But you have to make sure you're building those relationships for yourself, for your marriage, and for your family that's going to help them. You know, the goal is to make it to heaven. I do appreciate the fact that we have the Mantles, and they have helped us so much. In so many ways. Nancy has shared that when she first met me, she kind of had this feeling like, wow, you know, she's going to need a lot of help. But she had vision for me, you know. And she hasn't told me, you know, in details what it was about me. But it's like, but she had vision and love for me. And I appreciate her example. And like Dave said, we watch them. We watch the way they interact with each other. We watch the way they, you know, counsel other people. We watch the way they are friends with other people. I want to be like that. So, you know, when they would ask us, okay, are you guys available Sunday afternoon? Yes, I'm available Sunday afternoon. You think I'm going to say no? But yeah, I got all these papers I need to grade. I got to do this. I got to do that. To be with people who can help me to learn how to be like Jesus. It's like, all right, I will trust God that I'll take care of grading the papers and doing a lot of other things. And you know, because of John's investment in Dave and all other people, Dave is now an elder. And I'm, you know, and Nancy's had that vision for me to change, to be a wife, you know, with him. So, again, you can, you know, have vision for yourself, and you can have vision and invest in other people to help them become, you know, what God wants them to become. So.
Amen. Okay. Thank you. So you can also look at the model for on the here, Overseers and Deacons, 1 Timothy 3:1-13. There's a great book that Joe had of it last week that I've gone through. I'm going to go back again, called The Measure of a Man. I can't remember the author, but it talks about the different principles of the man and the example. And that'd be a great book. You'll get a chance to look at that. Then the plan. God has a plan. You know, we've heard it many times. Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And then Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. What does trusting the plan for your family look like? You pray daily to surrender your will to God's will. You strive to be led by the Spirit and not your emotions or your past. You deny yourself worldly possessions for building God's kingdom. You teach your children by your life to trust God's plan. You use your talents and resources to build God's kingdom. Of course, the model there, biblical model, is looking at the life of Aquila and Priscilla in Acts 18:18-26. But as far as God's plan, what is God's plan for our lives? And I think when I look at praying to surrender our will to God, and the one that talks about being led by the Spirit, not your emotions, and you teach your children by your life to trust God's plan, that made me think about when we moved into California. We had to pray, you know, God, if this is your will for us to move to California, let it be. Okay? We've been in Florida for many years, and been teaching for many years for myself, and was established there. So I was coming to a place where I had to get established, had to get a job in music and things of that nature. But besides that, I had to not be, you know, emotionally, it was like, man, yeah, let's go. Let's jump on the plane. Let's go to California. For one thing, I hate flying on planes. And to go from Florida to California, you know how long that is? That's a long time on a plane. Plus, I have problems with my equilibrium. You know, I get dizzy on the elevator. You know, so I'm in the plane, so I'm having like, I'm holding on to Shirley as we're going up, and, you know, as we're going along in the plane. So it's a lot of different things. I mean, dealing with my emotions, but, I mean, the kids didn't want to come. I'm telling you, they didn't want to come. You know, California, when anybody, you know, some of the disciples came, so they knew a few people, but it was like, they were like jumping up, let's go to California, you know. But we had to believe and we had to trust in God's plan. This is God's plan. And we said, well, we're going to go, you know, we don't have a job. Even we got advice when we were flying here from Mike Osmo. We were going to, we had put down a down payment on a place in Upland, and the place in the church was in San Dimas. And he even told us that, bro, I think you're looking too far away from the church. Why don't you try to... So I think we lost the deposit, I can't remember. And so we moved close. We got closer. So we just followed advice. He knew California, so to say. Amen. We didn't know who he was, but we ended up staying at his house. But it's all because, you know, we trusted in God's plan. We knew God had a greater plan for our life than we had. You know, because we were like, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to trust in God, and God really was there for us.
One thing, you know, as far as just wanting to use your time wisely, and also just you're working with your schedule. One thing that I have to work with, and as far as just my emotions, is, and I've shared this with women at the Women's Day, is I battle with depression. And so that takes time. And I battle with it because there's so much I want to do in a day. And to have depression take me out of life, I don't want that. I really like the fact that, you know, God has given us the opportunity to have a full life. And I even asked a sister who's in the medical field, well, I always have to battle with this. And she said, well, it's just your thorn in the flesh. But when you want, And you know, we're talking about, you know, scheduling. How do you balance family, work, church? And if you battle with the, you know, different emotional things or even just your health, you know, I'm constantly dealing with different sinus infections and respiratory infections. But you have to take time and deal with those things. And you can't just say, oh, you know, I'm going to go on. I have to pray about, you know, recognizing feelings that I have and not letting them take me out. I have to learn and I have to spend time taking my thoughts captive. I have to use, you know, and we talk about as far as time in your relationship. If you have a problem with your emotions or depressions or your past, those are things that God can help you overcome when you spend time in your quiet times. And so, you know, we hear people aren't spending time in God's Word. They're not spending time in prayer. Well, Psalm 103 is one of my favorite psalms because it talks about God having the ability to heal all my soul's diseases. So I go to God's Word and my relationship with God to get healing so that I can be what I need to be for the day. I work in a classroom with 20-something kids. I can't go in there moping because I have a bad feeling or a dark cloud over my head. You know, I didn't want that for my kids to be, you know, to be around a person who battles with depression. I feel like I'm thankful for the victory that God has given me, but it's like, that is a part of my life. I'm thankful that I'm, you know, as far as I know, some people have to use medication, but I go to God to help me to deal with my emotions because I want to be a part of the full life. You know, I want to be able to be in studies with people. I want to have people in my home. I want to be able to do a lot. And I can't let bad feelings keep me, you know, take me out. So, you know, I say that for some of you because I know God's Word in your relationship can make a difference. You know, counting your blessings, taking the time to do that. Taking the time to build relationships with close friends who, you know, can listen to you, who know the things that you struggle with. It takes time. But you got to make that investment so that you can be what God wants you to be. So those are things I want to share with that.
Okay, and lastly, eternity. So we talked about humility. We talked about others, the plan. Eternity. Receiving the goal of your faith, 1 Peter 1:9, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. A heavenly home that we're going to look forward to. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and were not so, I would have told you. I am going to there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. What is living for eternity? What does living for eternity look like in your family? Living to please God, not yourself. Living to bring others to faith. Living to encourage others with their faith. Living to build and strengthen the faith of your family members. Stepping out on faith to advance His kingdom.
And again, all of these things take time. And the thing that we're trying to help you to see, these are some of the things that you want to value. And so you have to pray, God, help me know how to balance the time. Because, and these are just a few things that we, you know, have meant a lot to us through the years, and these are things that we make sure are a part of our lives. And so you just have to look at your life and where your family is, and you have to look at, okay, what are we investing our time in? What are we investing our money in? And for some of you know that I do have a degree in meteorology. I was offered a job as to be a meteorologist, and this was back in 1975 when I was a senior in college. But I valued my relationship with God more than that degree and that career as a meteorologist. Because of where I was emotionally, I knew it would be spiritual suicide for me to pursue a career over my relationship with God. I also knew as a meteorologist that they had rotating shifts, 1 week of days, 1 week of evenings, 1 week of midnight. And I did not want that kind of schedule. I wanted to be a part of the Bible talks. I wanted to go to devotionals. I started out in campus. So I knew I wanted to be a part of that. I also saw other people who were willing to give up the career and the degree so that they could get a relationship with God. I worked as a bank teller, $400 a month. But you know what? I was happy because God was healing my soul. Just briefly, I grew up in a household with an alcoholic parent. So that left some scars that I needed to work through. So that's why I was willing to give up the career so that I could have a relationship with God. And also just to think, I want to make it. Moving to California, that was hard. You know, my family's still, Dave's family, they're still in Florida. And so to travel across the country, and some of you know what it's like, it costs a lot to do that. But we knew spiritually we wanted to make it to heaven. And so it was something that we were willing to make the sacrifice to move across country to do that, because we trusted that God will use it to help us make it to heaven. I also realized that my children, you know, are a blessing, but they belong to God. And it would be a shame if I did not help them to have a relationship with God. My girls know the sacrifices that Dave and I have made for the kingdom and for our relationship with God. And so it doesn't surprise me that Danielle was willing to go on the one-year mission to Montana. She was scared to go to Montana. Peter teases me about, you know, the fact that she wants to go to another country, and he says Montana is another country. She was terrified of the fact that there aren't many African Americans that live in Montana. And, you know, and I just kept thinking, you're going, because we've been given a lot by God, and I feel like we need to give God a lot. And so she loves being in Montana. She has a nursing position. But there's that cost, you know, her fear of going someplace. It wasn't easy for us, like, California, whoa. And it still cost us, you know. My mom was in the hospital in June. I thought I was going to have to fly back to Florida in September. And so the airfare is a lot. When it came time for Simone to choose a college, she chose it based on the campus ministries. She went to this senior camp, and so Orange County was loud about Orange County. And so when we applied for colleges, it was based on the different campus ministries in the area. They're growing and they're strong. And so she took care of her spiritual needs first to pursue, you know, where she was going to go academically. She's seen that in us, that we do value our relationship with God, and we want to be where we can be our best in our relationship with God. And so that's how she chose, you know, Cal State Fullerton. So.
Okay, so you can see just even from the things that Shirley said, it's just the decisions that we make through our life. Are they decisions for eternity? We just got to think about that. Even the fact, my kids through the years, Daniel, Simone especially, when I would say, I want to know where you're going to be at. So we have this board with the schedule. Write down your schedule. I said, why you want to know where I'm going? Because I want to know where you're going to be at. You know, or even places she wanted to spend the night. We had to know the people that she was going to spend the night with. And she was wondering why, you know. Well, we want to know. You know, we want to know who you're going to be with. You know, we love you. We want to know. You know, so we will let her know that. But eternity, just thinking about the decisions you make with your kids throughout your life, is it based on eternity? And that's why it goes back to our first scripture, Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added to you. So we have humility, others, plan, eternity. That's helping. That's hope. That's hope for our families when we apply these principles to our lives. So thank you very much. It's appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, before you're dismissed, I want to encourage you. There are some pearls on these pieces of papers that you just heard tonight. And a lot of people will tell you good things. Their lives are demonstrations of what they just shared. Over 30 years of it. So, I want to reiterate, put these things into practice and it will go well for you and your children and maybe your children's children if your children take these things. That's what we're talking about here tonight. And let me just go ahead and say this. If you don't do these things, it will go rough for you. That's what we're talking about. And in my 20-some years in the ministry, I have seen families make horrible mistakes because they didn't put God first. They didn't have those relationships that Shirley and Dave talked about tonight. And they shipwrecked their faith. And guess who else's faith they shipwrecked along the way? The children. And then their children are going to have to go out there and try to find it on their own. And hope they get met by somebody else. You know, God blessed us, but He didn't want that blessing to end with us. He wants it to be passed on to our children. And as I said, what we do here in the East region affects a lot of other places. But guess what else it affects? Our children. And that needs to be a priority in our lives. Okay, so hold on to this. You could have your quiet times on each one of these points this week. Okay? This is great stuff for you to chew on. And write things down. If you don't write it down, guess what? Chances of you really making those changes, it's not going to happen. When we write things down, that's when changes happen. Okay? So, Dave and Shirley, thank you for your lives. And thank you for sitting together in 45 minutes. You guys, these are pearls right here. Pearls of gold.